permit with me go anywhere. It ought to be our attitude, our determination to go wherever the Lord wants us to go and to do whatever the Lord wants us to do. This morning, we're truly grateful and thankful to have this good opportunity of being able to assemble here. We might be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. We do have visitors in the assembly, and we assure you that your presence is greatly appreciated. We certainly hope that all of us today might be able to worship God fully in keeping with God's will, that God's name might be magnified and glorified, that each one of us might be built up in the inward man, made more determined to live for God in this life, that we might be able to live with God in the life to come. As we begin our lesson today, I would simply mention that which all of us are aware of. We live in a world in which there are wars and rumors of war. As the Lord mentioned in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6, a world in which we hear and read of famines, earthquakes, violent storms, individuals dying accidentally. Many, many bad things are happening in today's world. And many of these bad things happening in the world happen to good people. On a personal level, I think back to September of 2017, when Hurricane Irma was approaching the Tampa area. Of course, it did not hit directly in Tampa. It veered to the right and went up east of us. But nevertheless, one of our members, Von Joyner, who lived in a mobile home, she went to Texas to be with her son to ride out the storm. But on the way back, was killed in an automobile accident. I think about October of 2018, when Hurricane Michael hit the panhandle of Florida, virtually obliterating Mexico Beach, taking the homes, many individuals, and a number of lives. I remember at least one home, one of the members of the church that we had there in Panama City Beach. She was a widow. She lost her home in the storm. Looking at it on a more personal level, I recall back in 1977, October, our daughter gave birth to Heather. I would not be one bit prejudiced, but she was the prettiest and sweetest baby in the world. But Heather was born with a heart defect. And 4 months later, in February, on her son's birthday, she died. I can think of many things where bad things have happened to good people. This morning, our lesson is entitled, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And giving credit to whom credit is due, I might mention that most of the points in this lesson were originally put together by my friend and brother in Christ, Glenda McClure, who preaches in Lodi, California, a place where I've had at least a couple of gospel meetings. But look now to Psalms chapter 73. First of all, verses 1 through 8. Truly God is good to Israel, even as such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They're corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued, and chastened every morning. He went on to point out it was so difficult for him to contemplate these things until he went into the sanctuary of God and understood their end. Why bad things happen to good people is really an age-old question. A question to some degree that Asaph was pondering in our text. On why do the wicked prosper? Though in this particular case, he's wondering why good things happen to bad people. He was envious of the wicked for a time. But why bad things happen to good people is one of the hardest questions of life. It's a reality and difficult part of life. So why, we ask, why did my child die? Why am I sick? Why is my heart aching and suffering so greatly? Why must there be disease and death in this world? Why am I being treated this way? Why did I lose my job? In other words, why me? Why do bad things happen to good people? The answer of some is God is to be blamed. After all, they say if God is all loving, and if God is all powerful, then God could have prevented these bad things happening to me. So many people charge God with blame. God took my child. God took my loved one. God caused these bad things to happen to me. And of course, we are all aware of natural disasters, violent storms, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes. And they're called an act of God. And so consequently, some people respond that God is at fault. You think about Job's wife. And I think sometimes we're a little bit hard on her. You see, as we look in Job chapter 1, Job was a man that was blameless. He feared God. He was the greatest of the men of the East. He had ample possessions, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. One day when the sons of God came before God, Satan came among them. Because he said, "Have you considered my servant Job? How that he's blameless and upright?" And Satan, the antagonist and the slanderer that he is, said, "Does Job fear God for naught? You put a hedge about all that he has. Reach out your hand, touch all that he has, and he'll curse you and die." God allowed Satan to do that. And one day, he lost his possessions. One day, he lost all 10 of his children. But Job did not sin. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so again, chapter 2, the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. God again said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan's answer was similar. "You touch his body, he curse you to your face." And God allowed Satan, God didn't do it, but allowed Satan to cover his body with boils from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. Now Job's wife saw what was happening to Job. And Job's wife likewise suffered the loss of all 10 of her children. She said to him, "Do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die." But Job let her know that she was speaking foolishly. God is not to be blamed. Asaph, in our reading, in our text, in Psalm chapter 73, he affirmed the goodness of God. He said in verse 1, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." Think about the apostles as they affirmed God's goodness. Paul in Romans chapter 11, 22 said, "Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them who smell severity, for toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off." Think about 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the message which we heard of him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. James chapter 1 verse 17, "Every good gift, every perfect gift, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Psalm 100 and verse 5, "The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and the truth endureth to all generations." We sing that song, "God is so good." And I cannot sing that song without thinking of our beloved brother George Aldrich, who would lead that song so often, and then would conclude, "That is the truth. God is so good. To blame God is foolish and sinful." Job said, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil?" And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Bad things happen, but they do not happen because of some sinister plan of God. We should not blame God when bad things happen to good people. But all of us are aware that bad things do happen, and they do happen many times to good people. We've already cited the case of Job. You think about being the greatest of the men of the East from the standpoint of possessions, and losing 10 children and losing all of that in one day. You didn't think about being covered with boils from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. His three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Bildad, and Zophar, went to him. They saw him. At first they could not speak. Sat down with him for some 7 days and nights and did not speak a word. So overwhelmed were they with what they had seen. Bad things do happen. Asaph talked about the things that were happening. The wicked prospering and the things happening to them and what they were doing to the others. The apostles. The Lord let them know, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16. Verse 22 said, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. You think about the Apostle Paul, that fearless and peerless apostle to the Gentiles. Notice what he had to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and what happened to him. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. And night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of water of robbers. In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. These were things that happened to Paul. Why? Because Paul chose to go where the Lord sent him and to preach Christ and him crucified. Bad things happened. Think about the brethren of the Lord. How the inward man is being built up. The outward man is perishing day by day. Bad things happen to good people. But why, we ask? One, it's because we live in a sinful world. Sometimes we suffer from our own past sins. Think about Galatians chapter 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. If he sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But many times, we become involved in immorality. We learn in Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, that adultery, fornication, they're sins of the flesh. And Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 18 said, flee fornication. But in today's world, this is happening, resulting in broken homes, divorce, unwanted pregnancies, sexually transmitted diseases, AIDS, many other diseases that come as a result of living immoral lives. Think about drug abuse, including alcoholism. The Bible warns against such. In Proverbs chapter 20, he said in verse 1 that wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And you look in chapter 23. In verse 29, he asked a number of questions. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Then he answered those questions. They that tarry long at the wine, and they go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it moveth, giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. It goes on to describe the ill effects of alcohol and alcoholism. And alcohol and drugs are in the same category. Frankly, I believe that there's a reason for calling drugs dope. From my judgment, only a dope would start taking such. But nonetheless, it happens all the time. And so, the Lord let it be known in Numbers that your sin will find you out. We suffer from our own sins. We suffer the consequences of the sins of others. What about gossip and murmuring and lying? These are things that the Lord hates, as we learn in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. And yet, these are things that go on all the time. And of course, drunk drivers. I remember back in about 1972, getting a phone call from Louisville, Kentucky, letting me know that a young man had gotten killed. The son of a couple in the congregation, one of whom I had studied, and was almost ready to be baptized, but we're to wait a little longer. He was driving one day and picked up two hitchhikers and a drunk driver went across two lanes of traffic, hit them head on, and killed all three. And I went to preach his funeral. A very sad, sad occasion. The parents were literally devastated. Not because of what Greg had done, but because of a drunk driver killing their own son. Murderers, robbers. I go back to about 1994. Hearing a call that broke my heart. Mount Pearl, shortly before she was 88, let two teenagers who lived in the neighborhood to come in, supposedly, to use the telephone. Well, there. They robbed her $42 and broke her neck. Bad things happen to good people because we're living in a sinful world. Bad things happen then because of evil people. The faithful of old suffered extreme persecution. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and notice what many Old Testament worthies went through. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us shall not be made perfect. You think about what some of them went through. Mention those that were sawn asunder. Isaiah wrote one of the books of the Old Testament, one of the larger books, 66 chapters. It is thought Isaiah was one of those who were sawn in two. Suffering at the hands of evil people upon the part of God's people has always taken place. But we think about Christ, what he went through at the hands of his own people. Of their own hands, they took him, and they crucified him, and they slew him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. The first century Christians, many of them suffered, and they suffered severely. Antipas, in the letter to the church at Smyrna was described as my faithful martyr who was slain among you, a child of God in the church at Smyrna. God called him my faithful martyr. Faithful preachers have long been suffered for preaching the truth. Paul was martyred. He said, the time of my departure is at end. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. But Paul was executed, put to death. John the Baptist. Remember in Mark chapter 6, there was Herod, married to Herodias, who in the eyes of God belonged to his brother Philip. Herod said, it's not lawful for you to have her. And Herod's wife became indignant. The daughter danced before them. And Herod promised her anything she wanted, up to half of the kingdom. She went to her wicked mother and said, what should I ask? She said, the head of John the Baptist on a charger or a platter. John the Baptist was beheaded because he preached the truth on marriage and divorce. Stephen preached the gospel to the people there in Jerusalem. They gnashed upon him with their teeth, as we learn in verse 54. In verses 57 through 60, they stoned him to death. Many faithful gospel preachers today suffer because they refuse to compromise the truth. Good people suffer because of evil people. We suffer because Satan is an active force. It was Satan who did to Job what we already alluded to in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. Satan is the god of the world, as we'll learn in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. And Peter calls him our adversary, who goes about seeking whom he may devour. He's still seeking opportunity to devour and to destroy you. You and I do have an adversary. We need to resist him. We need to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, as we learn in Ephesians chapter 6. We suffer. Good people suffer. Because when all is said and done, life is not fair. It was not fair to Job, but many times it's not fair to us. You see, perfect fellowship with God was lost in the garden. Four things took place because of sin. Women suffer pain in childbirth because of that. The earth bringing forth thorns and briars. Physical death. They were driven from the garden. That which was lost, of course, in the garden is regained in Christ. We suffer. The good people suffer because life is not fair. You've got to let it be known that trials will come. Jesus went through trials. Paul said that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Romans chapter 5, these things do come. But on the other hand, they produce patience, patient hope. You see, trials will come. But they strengthen and they perfect. And so, I'm going through this rather hurriedly. And we'll have the trials of old age and failing health. They come. Let's think about Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The writing here is a bit too small for me to read up here. So we'll turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And notice what Solomon had to say in that great book about the aging process. Verses 1 through 7. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, or the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house will tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, the ground shall cease because they are few. And those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grander is low. To rise up at the voice of the bird, and the daughters of music should be brought low. When they shall be afraid of that which is high, fear shall be in the way. The almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fall. Because man goeth to a long home and wanteth to go about the streets. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden rod be broken, or the pitcher broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. You think about those strong hands in our youth, but now they tremble. Think about the strong legs, but now they're bowing themselves. Think about the sound of music being brought low. Your hearing is not as good. Think about the grinder being filled. You're losing your teeth. When people are afraid of that which is high, no longer they have that sense of security. They're afraid of falling. And finally, the wheel is broken at the fountain, and the dust returns back into the earth as it was. The wise man is there describing the aged process. And he makes the observation that man does not waste time, but time wastes man. I can take issue to that to some degree, because the Bible tells us we need to redeem the time because the time is evil. The days are evil. But nevertheless, time wastes man. I can't see as well as I used to see. I can't hear as well as I used to hear. My hair has not turned loose, but it has turned white. I don't remember as well as I once did. What's happening? Time is wasting man. We're growing old. These things happen because of time and chance. Being at the wrong place at the wrong time. And finally, because that's life. And when all is said and done, because I don't know. I know bad things happen to good people. I know some of the reasons. We've mentioned some of them. But I don't know all of them. Not by any means. Don't know all of them. But the most important question is not why do bad things happen, but how do we respond when they do happen? That's where we'll pick up in a lesson, the Lord willing, tonight. The worst thing that can happen in your life is not physical illness, it's not death, but it's sin and the wages of sin. They can cause you to be lost eternally. But thanks be unto God, who is merciful and all loving. God provided for you and for me a way of escape. He sent His Son to die upon that cruel cross to make possible our redemption. And through His death and burial and resurrection, we have the gospel, the good news. And those who obey it are saved. The Bible teaches ailing sinners must hear the word of God, believe in Jesus Christ, repent of their sins, confess their faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and be buried in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and arise and walk therefrom in the newness of life. If you're not a Christian, that's what you must do in order to be rid of man's greatest evil, and that's sin. On the other hand, if you've done that, going back into the world into beggarly elements, you need to come home this morning by repentance, by confession, by prayer. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, please respond right now as together we stand.